So good morning, and I have some, I'd like to share some things with you this morning. And it's about our thoughts. My thoughts are a lot different than God's thoughts. You know why? I'm a human being, and I have limited knowledge. You have limited knowledge also. You may have a lot of knowledge, but it's still, it's finite. It's limited, the knowledge that you have. Even though you may know lots of different things, maybe I know some things, but it's still limited. We are in Isaiah chapter 55 and verse 8. It says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." So we can see that our thoughts are not equal with God's thoughts. God, I can't even say how high God's thoughts, but they're higher than our thoughts. Much higher. Remember God, some of his attributes. What is one of the attributes of God? He has all knowledge. He knows everything. We have a few resources that we can use. God has all resources at his disposal. He created all resources. He doesn't need them. He already has them. And so, all knowledge. He knows everything. Just think about everything that God has created. We can look at in the beginning of Genesis, how he created the heavens and the earth. He created a man. He created the atmosphere. He created gases. He created the environment. All the sun and the moon and the stars. Can you imagine? And you start studying just a little bit of astronomy, and it's just about the stars and moon, the galaxies, and, you know, we're not even just touching the tip of all the many things that are up there and how large and vast it is. This is God. It's a lot higher than we could ever thought of. We think it's amazing sending a rocket ship into space. We thought it's just incredible in 1969 when we sent a man to the moon. But God already created the moon. He created everything about the moon. He said, "You're not tipping the touch of the tip. The moon, that's not that far away to him." So God has, he knows everything and his ways. He's God. He's God. Of course his ways are not our ways, because we're dealing with just what we can see and we know and our experience. I can only deal with the experience that I have. I can't deal with something that I don't have any experience in, because I don't know anything about it. I don't have any knowledge. It'd be like me trying to go and do some type of math problem. I'm not very good at math anyway, but still, some complicated math problem, I would just fail. I couldn't get through it. It could be designing something. I couldn't design that rocket ship. I went into heaven. But see, God has all knowledge, and his way is going to be different. Sometimes we think that, what is God doing? Why are these things happening? But we can take comfort in the thought that God is in complete control. Because God, he knows everything. You know, we can recognize what we call the sovereignty of God. Well, that's God's purpose. And we talk about his omniscience, his knowledge. And it gives me great faith. Comfort when I think about God's sovereignty. When we're having the toils and the trials and the temptations and the issues of life, and sometimes they seem like they're just going out of control. God, why is this happening? Why? Guess what? We have faith that God has given to us. And we have faith in God that we don't have to ask why. We believe God, and we trust God that he has already in control. There's no need for me to ask why, or how come. He has it in control. I'll give you an example. the children of Israel, I mean, they were in trouble. They were in trouble. Now, Jacob had 12 sons. And he had two sons at his older age by his wife, Rebekah. He had Joseph and he had Benjamin. Well, what happened is that, you know, Joseph, his favorite son at the time, was, but his other sons told him that Joseph's been killed. We found his coat of many colors that you made for your son. And guess what? It has blood all over it. Guess what? Joseph wasn't dead. His own brothers taken him, and they threw him in a pit. And then some merchants came by, and they sold him as a slave. And Joseph, I mean, and Joseph was blessed. I mean, he got sold to this man named Potiphar. And man, when he started work for Potiphar, he started prospering. Potiphar did. Well, he was just doing an excellent job. Well, we know that his wife made a play for him to try to seduce him. And guess what? He would have none of it. He ran out of the house. And then he got in trouble because she said, you know, he tried to seduce her. He did the opposite. He got thrown in prison for a long time. Did he ask why, God? No. He just went about his business, did a great job. And even in the prison, the guy who was the guard of the prison, he started prospering there because of Joseph. And Joseph went through some trials. But we know that the children of Israel were saved, Jacob and his family, eventually through Joseph. Through Joseph, he got elevated to the second ruler in the land, second most powerful man. Here he had been started off as a slave. But God had a purpose, and we can look back and say, oh yeah, we see God's purpose. But Joseph didn't know the purpose at the time. He had no clue, but he trusted God. And so God used him, and he saved his family. He saved the children of Israel. Well, you know what? Eventually, Joseph died. And then there arose up another king. He didn't know Joseph or his family. But the children of Israel prospered. And they said, man, these children of Israel over here, they're going to be stronger than we are. They're going to take over the whole, all of Egypt. So what they did? They made them slaves. And so like for 400 years, they were down there. And you say, well, God's forgotten about them. He's completely forgotten about them. Well, he hadn't forgotten about them at all. It just wasn't, his ways are higher than our ways. And we can look back now and say, oh yeah, I can see. I mean, they were small at the time. He let them grow. He let them prosper. He let them, you know, have more people to get stronger. And when the right, and he had to have the right person to lead them out of there. Well, you know what? He had that all planned too. He had Moses in mind. Well, not in mind. He had Moses selected. What am I saying? He had Moses selected. He was going to use Moses. And when it was time for Moses, he was going to use him. And guess what? He did. He used Moses because that was the perfect leader to lead the children of Israel out of Egypt. That was the man that he said he needed. So when Moses was born, and he got old enough, 80 years old, he went through God's school, then he used him. And guess what? He just didn't have one leader. He had an underling too. His second in command was Joshua. So Joshua took the children of Israel. Moses led them out of Egypt, but he didn't lead them into the promised land. But Joshua is the one he had selected to lead them into the promised land and to help fight the wars, because Joshua was a great warrior and a great captain and a fighter. So Joshua led them over into the promised land. See, God had these men selected, and at the right time, then he would lead them out. Before, it wasn't going to work. It was not the right time. Why, Lord? Why? Why can't you do it earlier? It wasn't the right time. It wasn't God's purpose. It wasn't the time that God selected. So you think, all these people down there, just, you know, he's forgotten about them. No, he hadn't forgotten. He's got a detailed plan. Now, God has a detailed plan right now, even though we may not understand it. God has a detailed plan. What we can do right now, though, we can trust God and keep working in his kingdom. And we can keep living for God, as Brother Jacob has already told us. That's our job right now, to do that. Don't worry about God's part. God's got it all in control. He's sovereign. He has all power. So he's gonna accomplish his purpose. You know, there's a wonderful verse I wasn't going to use it, but I decided to use it anyway. It's in Daniel chapter 4 and verse 35. And it says, "And all the inhabitants of the earth." And that's something. All the inhabitants are reputed as nothing. And he doeth according to his will in the army of heaven. And among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay his hand, or say unto him, "What doest thou?" You know, no one can stop him, grab his hand, and say, "You can't do that." There's no one can stand up to God. He's God. He has all power. He does what he wants to. If he wants something done, it's accomplished. If that's his purpose, it's accomplished. He just does whatever he wants to. And guess what? Remember, God's always righteous. God has all holiness. I mean, we just start thinking about some of the attributes of God, and it's just wonderful. This is who we are serving, is God. And he's the one that's in control. And guess what? God is in control of our salvation. Isn't that a wonderful thought? I mean, that will give you the strength in your life to think that, you know, it's not some man or some woman or some government organization that's in control of my salvation. They might forget about it. "Oh, we don't have the resources to take care of this year. We'll do it next year." No, God is in control of our salvation. We are in his hand. And we know that even our times, our lifespan, is in his hands. We can take comfort in that. You know, because we don't know exactly how much time we'll have on earth. You know, I did speak about it. I think it was like average lifespan of a person is, you know, 78. And of course, you know, some people a lot older and some people much younger. But a lifespan, whatever the lifespan is, it's in God's hands. And God has it in control. Whatever issue comes up in your life, remember that God is in control. We don't want to fret away the time that we have. That's easy to do that. There's things that come up that causes concern and worry, of course. But don't spend all your time. Go to God and leave it in God. You can say leave it in God's pocket. Put it in his pocket. Leave it right there. Leave it in his hands. If you've got a burden, give it to God. Don't try to carry it around yourself. Give it to him, because he has all power. That's one of the reasons we can go to God in prayer, is that we know that God can answer any prayer that he wants to. And he does answer. I believe he answers all prayers of the saints. Sometimes they're in the affirmative, like we want it. It doesn't mean that God didn't answer a prayer. If we ask for something, he may say no, and he may say yes. But our responsibility is just go and ask him, okay? Don't worry about he's going to say yes or no. Oh, he's going to say no. Or he's going to say yes. Don't worry about that part. Just go pray to him. Leave it up to him. He makes the right decision for us. So we don't have to worry about that part. Don't worry about God's part. Just, hey, worry about David's part. Am I doing what I'm supposed to do? And I'll do what I'm supposed to do. Well, I already know God. He's going to take care of his part. So we can take comfort in that. But it gives us great comfort. There's many things that come up in life that we're concerned about. Well, we can just leave it with God. You know, and don't ever think that God has forgotten about you. Because then you can get depressed. Then you can start doubting. Then you can make when you get doubting, you get depressed. You know what happens? You always make the wrong decision. The person who tries to make a decision in a depressed state doesn't normally make a good decision. They usually make a bad decision. Or it's setting them up to make a bad decision because they're not in their normal state of mind. And so we can go to God in prayer, and God will hear. God loves us, as Brother Jacob was talking about. He knows the very numbers of our hair. I mean, he's an intimate God. He knows everything, even detail about you. I mean, he's that interesting. He wants to know all about you. And he does. And he understands your needs better than you do. He understands what you need before you ask him. But he says, come to me and ask me. We're to approach the throne of God. And we go to him in prayer. It's wonderful that God, we can go to him at any time. And that's a comforting thought. I mean, we hear 24/7, 365 all the time. But that is God is always available. You've got a problem at 2 a.m. or 3 a.m. and you work days, go to God in prayer. He'll answer your prayer. You keep persisting in prayer. You got a problem at 3 p.m. in the afternoon, he's there. Whatever time it is, he wants to hear from you. And he will hear you. God's never, quote, too busy. But see, God, because God is God. You talk about multitasking, he can do all things at one time. That's not too hard for God, because he is God. Man, God really doesn't need time. He only creates time for us to help us out. He doesn't really operate in time. We can go to him, we would call it any time, because God is always there. And, sometimes we have our five-year plan, or we have our 10-year plan. Well, in 5 years, I want to be at this spot. When you first start out working, they may say, well, David, what is your five-year plan? Where do you see yourself 5 years from now? Well, I might say, well, I see myself doing this. Or some people might give a trite answer, well, I want to be in your position, or something like that, something silly like that. Or my 10-year plan is I want to own my own business, or I want to be in a good enough financial state to retire, or I want to do this. Now, we set our plans, but our plans don't always come to fruition. I worked at a cardiac rehab for a year, and I really enjoyed it. It just didn't pay very much, but it was a good job. I mean, I enjoyed doing that, and I met many people. This one man, he was a financial wizard. He was always giving us advice: do this, do that, you do that. And I was thinking, wow, man, I didn't make good friends with him. He didn't really advise me here. How do I invest $10 and make a million or something? But he was a good financial wizard. He had told me about, he had gotten this huge RV. It was, type of drive. I don't remember all the different classes and everything, but it was decked out. He showed us a picture of it. I was going, whoa. Well, he's going to have a good time with that. He was going to go start traveling. Him and his wife, they're going to start traveling, and it was just going to be wonderful. And I couldn't wait till he retired, this and that. Well, he wound up having a heart attack. So he went through cardiac rehab. It was like 12 weeks. He had to have surgery. And after surgery, they do a little cardiac rehab in the hospital. And then they do some what we call outpatient. And I think it was like 12 weeks back then we did. And you get, when it first comes in, you couldn't hardly, push a bicycle or walk on the treadmill like this. But at the end, he's walking like this, he's riding the bicycle, and he's doing all kinds of stuff. And he's able to move his arms, use the arm things after about 6 weeks. Man, he's doing great. He looked better when he came in. He says, I'm feeling so good. He said, I'm going to keep this up, after I get through. We're going to start going on our RV and doing this and everything. Well, guess what? He took off. They went on one RV trip. His wife became deathly ill. I mean, deathly ill. She wound up with terminal cancer. And they couldn't go, and he went on one RV trip. They had to cut it short, came back. He was coming up some to the hospital doing some cardiac rehab, just as a, not as a patient, but, I'd monitor him stuff, you make sure he's okay. I would do that for people when they had finished, you know, the regular course, if they wanted to be monitored. And so he'd come up there, and we'd monitor him too, make sure his heart rhythm and everything was okay. And he said his wife was in the hospital, terminal cancer, and she wasn't going to make it. And so his plans didn't turn out like he thought it was going to do it. They had saved, their worked their whole life. Just, and this is their dream. They were going to travel and do everything together. It didn't work out. Their plans change. So we might have a 5-year, a 10-year plan, but I want to tell you, God has an eternity plan for you. And it's laid out in detail. And you can take comfort in that thought. It's not just for a short amount of time. This is for eternity. Eternity lasts forever. Yes, your 5-year plan may be changed, and your 10-year plan may be changed, or whatever plan may be changed, but God's got you in his hands, and he's got that eternity plan laid out for you. You know, this life is going to end, and I don't know how it will end. Some people have a harder time than others. I realize that. Some of it will be real easy, and some of it will be rough, and it'll be different, but guess what? In the end, the eternity is all going to be the same. Christ is coming back. He's going to call his children home. We're going to be given a glorified body, as Brother Jacob said. You know, can you imagine a glorified body? You know, sometimes you come to church and you try to live a good life, but you know, it just seems like you mess up. I know I do. I mess up and I don't even want to. Or I get mad and I don't even want to. Well, guess what? An eternal and glorified body, I won't be able to, because it'll be perfect. It'll be glorified by God. I won't have an evil thought. I will have an evil action. I'll be able to praise God perfectly. It'll just come out perfectly. Won't that be great? A glorified body. You won't have any bad thoughts or bad actions or whatever. You can praise God perfectly. Whatever God has you doing, I don't know what all we'll be doing in eternity, but you'll be able to do it perfectly. And that is a wonderful thing, because eternity lasts forever. This life that we're going through, it lasts for a short amount of time, but eternity is forever. And God has you in his hand. You see, God, he does exactly as he pleases. He answers to no one, because he doesn't need to answer to anyone. There's no one he could answer to, because he's in perfect harmony. You know, we talk about the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. There is only one God, but there are three distinct persons of the Godhead. So he's in perfect harmony with that. But God, remember, he's perfect, he's holy, he's righteous, he's immutable. It means he doesn't change his mind. You know, he doesn't love you one minute and hate you the next, because your sins have been paid for. All the God's children's sins have been paid for by Jesus Christ. And anyone that has their sins paid for by Jesus Christ, they will be with him in glory. Because not one drop of his blood was shed in vain. Every ounce of his blood that was shed covered sin, specific sins of all his people. He's full of mercy. We read Psalms 103 recently. Full of love, kindness. He also has godly anger. He has godly wrath. He's omniscient. Isaiah 46 and 10 tells us a great verse, is declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure. God's going to do everything he pleases. Everything he pleases. So when we have a promise from God, when you look at reading the Bible and you see promises from God, you see truths in the scripture, God will fulfill all those truths. And see, not will he, but he is also able to fill those. Me, I'm not able to fill things that everything I'd like to do, But God will fulfill everything. He won't be, he will, if he wants it done, just consider it. It's already done. I'm going to pray God will bless you this week. I pray that maybe you may think of some of these things when you're having your issues of life, whatever they may be, because we all have issues, and sometimes they seem larger than other issues. But I pray that you'll think about the sovereignty of God during this next week. God bless you. Let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we are so thankful to come and read thy word, hear preaching, hear sing with our brothers and sisters, hear prayers, and be able to worship you, Father, in spirit and truth. What a blessing it is that you preserved the church through all the different ages. We thank you, Father, for the church, and we want to take care of it while we're here. We want to work in the kingdom of God, and we thank you for each person that makes up, Father, our church. And we ask that you would be with them. We pray you bless each one that attends, Father, and listens here, and that you will work in their lives as they seek to serve you, and that you continue to bless them and direct them each and every step of the way. And let us take comfort, Father, in this doctrine of the sovereignty of God. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.